Following the 2022 confirmation that a wild animal killed outside of Cooperstown in 2021 was actually a wolf, there has been increased discussion at the Capitol about the wolf population in the Empire State and how best to monitor this population. For more on the issue, including legislation intended to protect wolves in New York, we're joined on the Capitol Press Room by Claudia Bramer, Deputy Director of Protect the Adirondacks. Welcome to the show, Claudia.
Hi, thanks so much for having me on.
And also in the studio is the group's Executive Director, Peter Bauer. Welcome back to the program, Peter.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, for starters, what exactly is a wolf compared to, say, a coyote or just a big dog?
In New York, it's a fascinating question because it's one that's been studied for a number of years now, for decades. The Western coyote and wolves in the West are genetically different. But as wolves were wiped out in the Northeast right around 1900, coyotes from the West moved in and they've genetically differentiated from other coyote populations in the country. And they've actually taken over a huge terrain where they are the top predator throughout the Northeast. And what we've seen with coyotes is in the Northeast is that they will interbreed with the proverbial lone wolf that comes down from, say, Algonquin National Park in Canada, north of Toronto, or a wolf that comes in from the Great Lakes states. So the genetic composition of our coyotes often has a fair amount of wolf DNA, 30%, 40%, some even higher. And the Cooperstown wolf that was shot back in 2021, that was, 98% wolf DNA in one test, 92% in another, the rest being coyote.
Wolves are similar to dogs and similar to coyotes, but they're bigger than coyotes. They have more rounded ears and they have a more rounded snout than a coyote does.
So then for the purposes of, say, receiving the protections of being an endangered species, what percentage of an animal's DNA needs to be a wolf? Is 51% the threshold? Is there a gray area? How do we think about this?
That's a great question, too, because it is still a gray area. We've talked to a lot of scientists about it, and there is not consensus about what exactly DNA composition makes up a wolf that would be protected versus a different kind of canid that is a mixture that would not be protected. So if you read the language of the bill, it doesn't specifically say any particular defining amount of DNA composition is a wolf.
And both the state and the federal wildlife agencies have been reluctant, as has the scientific community, to assign some type of numeric standard, 75%, 60%, something like that, for what would constitute a wolf in the wild. That may be coming at some point just because it's more controversial. But at the same time, in the Northeast, we're seeing our coyote population change over the years. They're hunting much more deer than they used to. Back in the 1970s, when they first studied the coyotes in the state, it was just single digits as far as the amount of deer that they were eating in their diet through the course of a year. Now they're eating more than 50% of their diet is deer. They're bigger animals. They're hunting deer. They're packing up at times. So they're gathering wolf-like behaviors.
Is it possible they've just found a great venison recipe?
It's possible that they've found a number of great venison recipes, but they've also learned how to effectively, hunt deer more strategically. There's lots of places where you see deer kill on a frozen lake as the coyotes chase the deer out onto the lake, knock it down, and pounce on it. Folks at the Garnet Hill cross-country ski area say they regularly come across deer kill from the coyotes in the middle of their trails. And, it's a site that they have to clean up.
Well, in addition to these hunting patterns that you were talking about and the confirmation of the wolf killed in the Cooperstown area, is there other evidence to suggest that wolves are returning to New York?
We do know that there's evidence about enough terrain and habitat in New York to sustain a wolf population here. And we do know that there are scientists also chasing what they have heard from people as far as howls that people are reporting. Those are not coyotes, but those are wolves howling. And also, there are some scientists who are going around collecting scat from animals and trying to test it to figure out if it's a wolf or a coyote, because people have seen what they think are wolves running around in the Adirondacks in particular, and they're too big to be coyotes.
when we covered this issue back in 2022 and talked to Peter, Protect the Adirondacks was looking for a comprehensive study of wolves to be conducted in New York. We now have legislation from Assemblymember Bobby Carroll and State Senator Brad Hoylman-Siegel. Does that address what you'd like to see in terms of capturing the full picture?
It would address a chunk of it, and it would address one important part of it, in that this legislation, if it would pass, would yield a lot of important data with good DNA analysis of a number of animals from across the state. The requirement is that any coyote that's hunted that's greater than 50 pounds, we would get a tissue sample so that we could conduct a DNA analysis. And from that, hopefully, we would see hundreds of different reports in a given year. DEC would make a report to the legislature. That fills one part of an overall plan, which is just trying to, you know, establish a baseline for what's happening with our coyote population. How common is it for a wolf to wander into the state?
Recently, the bill was amended to add the language "or found," because that will allow scientists who maybe find roadkill on the side of the road to take a DNA sample and provide that information to DEC to help fill in the gaps, not just from hunters who are accidentally killing a wolf like what happened in Cooperstown, but also these scientists who are around the state and are willing to help DEC collect data from animals that are already dead.
And what do you imagine the state or environmentalists would do with the data they collect?
If we're able to determine that one of these samples was an actual wolf, that would inspire the DEC under the legislation to conduct more research in that area, with the attempt to be to try and find live animals. We had a number of reports come in to Protect at the time of the Cooperstown wolf that people in that neck of the woods said, we saw that animal and several others with it. We were never able to substantiate those reports, but this would allow the DEC in places where they found an animal, a very large animal, an animal with a very high DNA, you know, percentage as far as being a gray wolf, that the DEC would then go in and conduct an investigation through scat analysis and other means to try and determine if there are any live animals in that area.
It would also allow the DEC to put a pause on coyote hunting where that animal was found, so that we don't have any other accidental killings of wolves.
What would be the threshold for imposing at least a temporary moratorium?
If the DNA analysis from DEC came back and said that it was a wolf.
So just one dead wolf would say no more coyote hunting in a specific region?
Right.
Is that overkill?
The bill leads, you know, a great deal of discretion to the DEC, because the legislation would be subject to rulemaking. So the DEC would, you know, conduct a public process to come out with their rules for how they would conduct an investigation, how, under what conditions they would close hunting and that sort of thing.
And for how long.
Yeah. And so that would all be a public process, which we're very comfortable with. And, you know, all, and anytime we can bring sunlight and transparency to environmental policy is a good thing. And this would certainly be ripe for that type of process.
And what about education for hunters? Is there room to improve the awareness of hunters about, say, the difference between a coyote and a wolf that they might see out in the wild?
Yeah, definitely. DEC has, since the Cooperstown wolf, put up a tiny bit of information on their website to show the differences between a coyote and a wolf. But it is a little bit hard out in the field to identify the differences, and so there's definitely room for improvement in the hunter training education courses to have the information more available to the hunters to show them the differences in the field.
What responsibility is there for a hunter right now to know the difference between a coyote and a wolf? Can I go around shooting wolves and just claim ignorance?
No.
Right now, I mean, New York's coyote hunting season is a 6-month open season. It starts in October. It doesn't end till the end of March. It's a policy straight out of Idaho. You can kill wolves with guns or traps. You can hunt them day or night. You can hunt them 24 hours a day. You can kill as many as you want in a day. You can kill as many as you want in a season. So what this bill would do is say, if there's a really large canid, that, you know, a really large coyote, you know, think twice, because it may be a wolf. And if we get enough of these large coyotes that are reported and we're able to do an analysis and we're able to determine whether or not these animals truly are wolves, then the state and federal protection should have been evoked. Then we're able to start with a much stronger program in New York to protect wolves.
Well, as Peter mentioned, the state and federal protections do already protect wolves here in New York. And so you cannot shoot them. You cannot kill them, take them under the law. And mistake is not an excuse. So you can't just say, oops, I made a mistake.
What if it's me or the wolf?
There may be an exception there if you are in immediate danger.
So does this bill go far enough? If you two had had the pen and got to write the legislation, is there something else that you would add that's not present?
This is a solid start. And, you know, working with the legislature in New York and working with the Department of Environmental Conservation, just getting this type of recognition and protection and program put in place for wolves would be a big step forward. You know, the wolf reintroduction, wolf feasibility for reintroduction has been in and out of the state's wildlife plan for the past 30 years. It was in, but then they never did the feasibility study. Then it was out. They weren't even going to consider a feasibility study and that sort of thing. Yet we've seen other states. Colorado is in the midst of a really exciting wolf restoration project right now. And, you know, this is, you know, the western part of Colorado. It's not considered, you know, the super liberal part of the country, but yet there's really strong support in the communities in that part of the state, in that rural part of the state, for wolf reintroduction, because wolves enjoy, you know, a lot of support across the country.
Well, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. We've been speaking with Claudia Bramer. She's the Deputy Director of Protect the Adirondacks. Thanks for visiting us, Claudia.
Thank you.
And we've also been visited by Peter Bauer, the group's Executive Director. Thanks for stopping by, Peter.
Always good to be here.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by Resorts World New York. With over 1 million square feet of space to play, relax, and celebrate, Resorts World New York City hosts more than 5 million visitors a year. That makes Resorts World a significant social and economic partner for local businesses and residents alike. Through its operations and outreach programs, Resorts World has generated more than $4 billion for the state educational system and 1,400 jobs for the people of Queens. More information at rwnewyork.com.